The place is your hoe. Welcome to Hoe Ventures, a podcast about the riveting tales of professional daters. Here is your host, Chantel Etoile.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 8 of Hoe Ventures. I am back and with a lovely lady that I got to meet when she came to visit Orlando last year. Was it last year? I think it was last year. Welcome to the show, Rain Rose.
Hello. Good afternoon. How are you today?
I am fantastic. Yay. Thank you so much for joining me. Our schedule's
fine. Thank you. I'm honored. I know. So many things. Life. Boo.
Yes, life. Well, you have a very exciting international adventure for us today. One of the reasons I'm so excited about this because it actually does not involve a date, like a normal date that we've been sharing on the show. So I'm excited for everyone to see us professional daters, different types of adventures that we have in this industry. So before you tell us about your exciting international spy adventure, not spy, but I just like to think of it as that. let us know, where are you currently based out of?
Currently, I'm based out of Cleveland, Ohio, but I, of course, you know, venture down to Columbus, Cincinnati, and I'll actually pop over to Pittsburgh and Detroit on occasion when requested. So that's basically that. And then I still, of course, at least 4 to 5 times a year, I'll spend almost a week in New York. So New York will always have my heart.
Okay, so like Pittsburgh is like a really close like flight, or is it driving?
It's drive. It's about 2 hours away, and Detroit is about 2.5 hours. Driving wise, I don't really like to go past Cincinnati, which is about 3 hours, because after that, I'm exhausted.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of driving myself. I think everybody, if you've ever met me, you would probably know that. But that's like, because I'm in like Tampa, Florida, anything that's like a 2 hour drive, it's still in Florida. So I always get excited, like, oh, wait, you can drive 2 hours and be in like 2 different states. We don't get that down here in Florida unless you're closer to Georgia. So that's pretty exciting. So how long have you been in the industry as a professional dater?
This September, it will officially be 5 years, and I cannot believe it. Like,
5 years. Oh my God, you're like still a baby.
I guess I'll take that.
I'm like, what am I on year 7? And I had like a 5-year plan. And then I was like, I'm still having fun and I haven't done everything I wanted to do yet. So I'm going to keep going.
I have no idea when I will end. I don't know. It'll just happen when it happens. I don't have a plan for that. Like, yeah. Most people's careers, they're like, oh, I'm going to do 25. And then they've done that 25. And they're like, oh, well, guess I'll keep going. Like, what else am I going to do?
Right. That's, you know, that's kind of where I was. It was like, wait a minute. Why do I have to have a time limit? Mm-hmm. Don't need one. Right. You'll know when you know. Like, you'll just feel like then it's I'll just time and then it'll happen.
Exactly. I wanted to say that I would just disappear into the sunset, but you know, whole Twitter is hilarious. I don't think I'll ever be able to give it up. I might like change the name and go dark and just lurk, but I literally want to cancel like all of my streaming platforms. I can just go to Twitter to be entertained.
I'm just like, I know that a lot of people just kind of like one day they're here, the next day just everything is gone. I just don't think I can do that. Like, I wanted to do that, but I'm like, I'm so vocal. I just don't know if I can.
Yeah, I think most definitely I will be a lurker once I retire. Like, I just won't post, but I might just keep the name up there. I can't leave it alone. It's like I'm addicted to the antics.
It's so addicting. It's so addicting.
But in the same breath, that's kind of sad a little bit that we're just so, like, plugged into it. But I can't help it.
I mean, listen, it might not be as interesting for vanilla people, but like we're in the know, you know, we know the inner workings of it.
Exactly. So, and then when you know people personally, it adds to it. So
it does. It does. Okay, so, well, you don't have a date adventure. You went international, solo. All right, so let us know, where did you go? How did this start?
Okay, so the location that I went to was Singapore. So what happened was that someone mentioned, like, hey, have you ever gone to, like, any, like, Formula One racing before? And I'm like, no. They were like, hey, what about this place over in Singapore? You know, like, the flights are, like, relatively cheap to go that far. And I'm like, why not? Sure. I have nothing else to do. I'll fly across the world. Why not? So basically planned on it, went to the Formula One racing site, bought my ticket, got there, and Singapore is freaking amazing. Like, love it, love it, love it. And it's just it's a very, very clean city. Like, if you litter, you're just gonna go to jail.
I don't hate that.
Exactly. Like, being somewhere that's clean and safe, where you just, like, and in that region of the world, I really didn't have an expectation of what I would experience while I was there, or what the dynamic would be, and how, like, bright and jovial the energy of Formula One racing would be like. I had no idea. Like, I've gone to, like, simple, like, races here. Through, like, Dirt Devil, sponsored some cars, but that's not Formula One. That's just, like, regular, I can't even think of the name of the type of style of racing, but that was that there.
Like, the regular, like, NASCAR kind of style?
Exactly, exactly. Okay. Oh, my goodness, how did that slip my mind? Duh, NASCAR.
I don't know, because you don't go to NASCAR events? You don't, I don't know, you don't live in Florida, I guess?
I've been to one down here. Exactly, but it's different though. Like, F1 racing fans to NASCAR fans, they're just a different breed, at least in my opinion.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not just me.
It is not just you. Everybody knows it is a totally different breed. NASCAR is very American Southern thing. And, you know, let's be honest, in the recent years, it was known as a pretty, like, you know, Black people were not welcomed in the space for long time.
Absolutely.
Now NASCAR has welcomed us, so maybe I might go to an event, not in Daytona, though. I don't know where they have other events, but Daytona and I aren't friends. We're not friends. But anyway, so I haven't been to a Formula One event. It's on my list of things to do. So it sounds like I need to go to the one in Singapore.
Well, until recently, that was the only night race that they had in the world. Now they're actually bringing a night race to Vegas next year.
What? And
yes. I need to go. I have to go. If I don't go, I'm going to, like, just, like, jump off a curb. I can't. Like, I cannot, like, not
go. It was that much fun.
It was. Like, so what it is that it's, like, the whole weekend, right? And mm-hmm. So they literally have it set up where the race goes through, like, this huge part of Singapore, you know, through the hotels, around, like, wherever it is. And then on the other side, they have, like, all of these concerts, events, the food. And the race was actually, like, wrapped kind of around the mall, so you could go into the mall, go shopping during the day. And, like, I need to, like, once this goes up, I'm gonna, like, of course, like, post some pictures of it. Yeah. And oh my goodness, like, the views from the hotels, they have balconies. It's overwhelming. It's awesome. The people from literally all around the world that you would meet and encounter, it was very sensory overload for me, but it's like I loved it and I need, like, more of it.
Oh, that sounds so exciting. I didn't even know I guess all of that went on, like, surrounding the event. It's just like a whole party concert type weekend.
Absolutely. Like, there's so many events for kids, for adults, all of the merchandise that they have out there, you know, the meet and greet, and, you know, you can watch, like, the practice races during the day. It's a huge, huge deal, and the money that goes into it and the girls that come for the money that's there.
Yeah. Okay, so speaking of that, for the vanilla people out there, as professional daters, sometimes we do take our business on the road and we just call it touring. So did you go there like to tour, or was this a vacation?
Initially, it really started off as a tour, and I ended up meeting a cool girl who's based in Hong Kong. I haven't seen her around in a while or whatever, but that's initially why it started. So I'm like, okay, I have all my ads up and everything like that. But then one of the things that you also have to take into account is literally like, hey, you know, you're going into a place where you have to think about their currency and making sure, you know, when you do have a date, are you getting the right amount and is it translating properly? And, you know, they know that you're coming from somewhere else. You know, are you receiving actual like notes? Because here in America, you can get like a money pin and just like, okay, it didn't turn black, so I know this is a real note.
Right.
So, you know, those things are things that you have to take into an account. Mm-hmm. But for me, when I got there and I'm trying to, you know, do my freestyling and all of that, oh my goodness,
girl,
the competition from the girls that come from the other regions of the world, oh my, cutthroat. They were like just as bad as the Russians in New York. I was like, oh my,
okay, so freestyling is not my thing. And again, for the vanillas out there, freestyling is basically when you go out and you get dates while you're out on the town. Sometimes it's successful, sometimes it isn't. It's not my thing. I'd like to say that I'm just like too lazy for it, but really, I have anxiety. Like, I have social anxiety as much as I'm a social butterfly. And everybody thinks I'm like so confident and just, you know, can talk to anybody. Like, I can talk to anybody, but handling business out there in these streets like that, it's just not a skill that I care to acquire.
It's not the easiest thing. And for me personally, I have to be in a mood for it because I feel like I have to be on the high alert guard just to make sure that, you know, I'm feeling safe. I can do, you know, the level of, you know, out and about screening and to make sure that I'm not going to be arrested. So it's not something that I do, you know, frequently, but then sometimes simple conversations can turn into amazing, you know, out and about dates or whatever happens. So
this is true. I have met several long-term clients that way. But I guess for me, it would be like accidentally freestyling because I never leave my house with the intention of like, ooh, I'm going to meet somebody today. If it happens, it happens. It's great. But I don't consider that freestyling for me because I'm like, I just lucked up on, you know, meeting some random person.
Well, in my opinion, to me, every time I leave the house, it's a freestyle opportunity. You know, you can be in the grocery store. You can be, you know, like on your jog like I was earlier today. To me, anytime you leave the house is an opportunity to freestyle. So I try to not like say I'm going to be completely dialed all the way up, but I'm like, hey, I'm looking cute.
So. See, that is really interesting to know because, you know, a lot of people outside of the industry think about, you know, us as professional daters is one way. And I mean, we're mostly just very business oriented people. Like, we're about our money. We're about our business. And I personally can't be on all the time because it would just drive me crazy. And I envy you ladies who are like, when I walk out of the house, you know, I'm out for display. Because I'm like, when I walk out of the house, I am trying to hide from the world.
Oh, my goodness. Well, for me, the way these boobs and these curves back behind me are, there's no hiding unless I'm like wearing a muumuu, so somebody's always have something
you guys
to say. To
make sure you guys go look at her Twitter, because when I say that this girl got the curves, it's no joke. It is no joke at all. And and you mentioned the money aspect. That is something a lot of people don't think about, is the different currency conversion. And From what I heard, though, like the U.S. dollar is the easiest to counterfeit. I don't know how true that is, but I've always heard that. You know, especially I have a little bit of a background in banking. So I've always heard that rumor. I don't know how true it is. If anybody knows, let me know how easy it is to counterfeit the currency in your country. Because I know it's easier.
That would be a very interesting topic to have. Like, you hear it, but I don't feel like I hear it as frequently as I do with American notes.
Right. That, you know, maybe we just have, I don't know, just more access to what did we used to call it in banking? The Staples aisle 5 special, where you could literally go to Staples and just gather pretty much almost everything that you need to counterfeit.
Wow.
FBI, don't come knocking on my door. I'm not telling people how to do anything. I don't know the specifics, but this was a joke that we had back when I was in banking. Okay. Okay. So you started out, planning to freestyle, and how did that go? Did you get any dates out of it?
For me, I didn't. Like, I did have ads up on two or three of, like, the main international sites over there. I had a lot of inquiries at that time and nothing actually paying through. So I was like,
were they time wasters?
It was time wasters, or, you know, people who I'm like, this seems a little bit creepy. And my spider senses went up. I'm like, no.
Ooh, yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I've gone however many hours it was to get over there. So I'm like, okay, let me just enjoy my time here. And I'm like, okay, I won't worry about the ad sites. I'm just going to see what I can find out in the wild.
Okay.
So when the way that went, it was like, okay, like, let's go to some clubs. Let me go, you know, hang out at the hotel bars. At the hotel bars, I would find a lot of the expats. So it was like a mix of the expats who were living there, who were like, hey, this is my normal place that I go and frolic at after work. And then it was, of course, like the F1 people. So it was like a mix of, you know, people who are working there, people who are coming to visit there. So it just really wasn't panning out. And then I could just, as an observer, I started to see, like, all of the girls from, you know, coming over from Africa, coming over from, like, Hong Kong, coming over from wherever. And their level of aggression, it was just, like, swarm, swarm, swarm. You know, they're seeing who they're perceiving to be, like, maybe this rich, you know, whoever he might be. And then what I started to find out as I'm, like, ear hustling and I'm listening to conversations, I'm hearing the rates that these girls are giving these men. And I'm
what were a few that you overheard?
I'm hearing like maybe $500 for an overnight. There's nothing I can do with that.
Oh. So, and like 500 in like Singapore currency?
The conversion when I did it back then, it would have been like 500 American dollars.
Okay.
So I'm like, there's absolutely nothing I can do with that. So when I'm hearing, you know, $500 American for what an overnight would be, literally knowing that mine is a few thousand dollars. So, and these people are like, just like, you know, okay, come on, let's go. But when you think about it, that money going back towards, if you're like in Taiwan or you're, you know, somewhere in another region, wherever, that money's going to stretch and they have no problem with that. So when I started to hear and see that, at that point I said, you know what? I'm not going to stress myself. I'm just going to enjoy my time here. And just that, for me, that was my lesson to say, you know what? I'm not an event professional dater. Like, working events, that's not my thing.
I want to stay so far away from events. I think everybody knows you even in the vanilla industry or vanilla people, everybody knows like Super Bowl brings out like all of, you know, like the dancers and all sorts of people coming to try to, you know, make money from the event. So I think people hear the stories of, you know, the dancers coming and, you know, you see them posting videos and they're saying how they're raking in thousands and thousands of dollars per night working these events. They never hear the other side of it, where you have like the sugar babies and professional daters like us, you know, just regular escorts and stuff like that. People don't pay attention to those stories of like a lot of these girls go out with hopes and dreams that they're going to come back with all of this money to pay their bills, and they end up losing money. So that's a really good lesson that it is a privilege to be able to afford to go take those risks, because if you flop, you're out of money at this point. So you, and like you said, $500 in, you know, some of the other countries go far. Whereas like, I'm probably going to go get lunch today and they're going to charge me at least $350 to $500. Exaggerating. But you know, our prices over here are so sky high that you have to think about how far is $500 going to get you. Where can you spend all night with somebody for that? Or do you need to leverage and, you know, see one or two people? I don't know. That's a personal choice. So you decided that it wasn't worth it for you. So did you just turn this into a vacation?
That's exactly what I did. So like for me, any trip, even when I am touring, my main thing is I never go somewhere that I can't personally afford to be. That's where a lot of people get in trouble, where they're like, oh my goodness, I'm going to spend my last and roll the dice and, you know, go to this place and hope I make enough money to get home. Like my hotel, my flight, all of that was, you know, taken care of. I had, you know, everything that I needed in the bank to make sure that I could enjoy myself, because you never know what would, you know, potentially happen. So from there, I'm like, okay, let me just party. I ended up going to a concert within like the Formula One racing atmosphere that they had set up. The clubs there, the music was like awesome. It's a hotel called Marina Bay Sands or something like that over in Singapore, and I think it's like their tallest hotel there. Ooh. They had this like ghost DJ, like literally he was like all like white, and it was like the glow stick party like that. I'm not a real big club person for the most part, but like the E&D, like fun. It was, oh my goodness, that was like literally like one of the best times that I've had in my life. Met some Aussie men there, but they were cheap. So I'm like,
They really are. I toured Australia and it was a struggle. We'll have to talk about that. This was in 2018. Like I went there like probably a month after Backpage was seized, and that was really big in Australia at the time. So it was like I got there and it's like, where is everybody advertising? Like it was crazy. But again, I had the trip all planned and I just went, and I did have a couple of dates, but I mostly hung out with kangaroos and koalas, and I don't regret it. Like, you know, I met some people that showed me around the town and it was so much fun. But you know, that's what you do. If it doesn't work out business wise, you just make an awesome vacation out of it, which sounds like you did. So other than like going out to the clubs, and I mean, you said you're not a club girl. I'm kind of like in between. I used to have my club party days. I'm kind of tired, you know, from spending most of my 20s partying, not doing drugs, but just like I love music and to dance, right? So I'm out there on the dance floor, you know, over in a section, and I'm dancing the night away. So the glow stick sounds amazing. But did you do any other activities outside of going to nightclubs?
I mean, basically, it was all Formula One stuff. Like, that's literally where it was centered. You know, going out exploring the town and the city a little bit. I was only there for like maybe, what is it, three? I think about like 3 days or so.
Okay.
And it was literally all F1 centered. So going through the mall and going through each of the experiences, it takes your entire time while you're there to really absorb it and see what they have to offer. It was a lot going on. Like, I can't say that I'm not a real big party girl per se. It's just I have to be in a mood to be in the club. Like, I need my 5 to like 7 p.m. nap so I can be out till 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, other than that, like by midnight, me and my pepperoni, we're sleeping. Like
Pepperoni. Pepperoni is like, her cutest little pupper.
Thank you. But yeah, like, I just, like, if I, for example, if I'm going to Vegas, yes, I'm going to go party. Absolutely. Like, how can I not? You know, if I'm in Paris, yeah. Paris, I have to party. Those clubs are awesome. So it just,
oh, like, my God, in my city, I have not partied in Paris.
Gasp!
I know! Okay, when I go back this summer, I'll hit the clubs. But yes. my friend is moving away from Paris, so now I have to find somebody else to party in Paris with. I'll find some more friends when I go there this time.
Absolutely. Paris is so easy. I loved it there.
I can't believe I haven't partied in Paris. I spent too much time eating. Speaking of food, what was the food like in Singapore? Like, is it somewhere I'm just going to need to schedule a whole day to just sit around and eat a lot?
For me, I personally enjoyed their street food. So, ooh. Like, but for because I wasn't thinking about things, like, I didn't do, like, the reservations in advance. Like, I needed to go to, like, you know, like, the cool places or, like, you know, the 4- and 5-star restaurants that I was there, while I was there, rather. So, that would be something.
But we all know that in most countries in Asia, the street food is where it's at.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
And it was
so, like, was it just, like, really good street food?
It was really good street food. They had the place that I went to, it was literally almost kind of like a little food market. So, like, okay. When you walked in, like, I literally had to just walk around the whole entire perimeter. Like, ooh, what do I want to have? Do I want to have ramen? Do I want to have, you know, some special Singapore type of dish? Or, you know, like, oh, I see this fish head over there. I'm like, and then I'm like, ooh, hold on, wait a minute. What is that? I don't know if I want to jump off that cliff. But it was really, really good. Like, I went, it was like 2019, right before COVID. So it's like, it's been so long.
Oh, like, my God, right?
When I go again, I want to go this year, but I don't think I'm going to be able to. But when I, most definitely what I would do when I go again is that I'm going to add extra days on the end of it. So, you know, when the city's quiet again, like, mm-hmm. they've, you know, pulled up all the track and everything like that, to really go and explore it. Because when you're in the thick of it, you really don't get a chance to really explore and absorb Singapore in its true splendor when the race is there.
So you're planning to go back for Formula One again.
Formula One and Singapore again, just so I can see what Singapore is minus the race.
Okay, what time of the year is that? I don't know anything about.
It happens in late September, early October, I think.
Oh, I wonder if I can go this year. I probably can't go this year. I have so much this summer.
Okay. Yeah, so it's I think going, like, and adding days to it after the race, that will allow me to, like, actually be able to enjoy it.
Yeah, I would imagine, and probably get a different working experience. Are you going to try to work this time?
That's what I'm going to try to do is, once the race is over, what happened was I started to actually get calls. And that was from people who were like, okay, the girls have left. You know, I feel a little bit more comfortable with this person here working compared to, like, all of the other people who were just coming through. So that was another reason why I would stay. So I would work after the race to, you know, get all the businessmen and the expats who do live there.
Oh, okay. Okay. This is a good learning tip, ladies. Good learning tip. Absolutely.
Okay. Yep. So this year the race is September 30th through October the 2nd.
Okay. Yeah, I probably won't make it this year. I think I have a concert. I think I have, like, a festival in California this year around that time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm always at somebody's festival. And you said when are they doing the Vegas one?
The Vegas one, let me see. That one is, I don't even know if they've released the dates.
Yeah. Okay. So, sorry, we lost connection and now I forgot where we were.
We were talking about Vegas. Yeah. Vegas F1. As of right now, I don't think that they've announced the dates for it as of yet. But as soon as they do, I most definitely will be talking about it on Twitter.
Well, let me know, because, I mean, hopefully I'll have my van then and I'll drive out, because I'll be partying in Vegas.
You and your van. I know you love it.
All right. So were there any other highlights to your Singapore trip?
Actually, after Singapore, flew over to Hong Kong for a few days.
I did that when I left Australia. I love Hong Kong. Totally, it was interesting experience.
It really was. Like, oh my goodness, the stuffed crab over there. Oh, I could eat that like almost every day. It was so delicious.
So good. What did I have? I don't even remember because it was mostly vegetable based anyway. But I remember eating really good food in Hong Kong. Did you work there or?
I had ads up there, but for me, it was just no dice. Like the international Asian area for me just did not work. So I'm just like, I don't know. Like, would I try it again? Most definitely. But for me, I ended up getting like all the calls after I left. And I'm like, listen here, I had these dates up for like over a month. Like, why are you calling me?
I don't know how that happens. I don't know how or why. Like, if we have dates there, I don't know why they think we're still there.
We have lives. I sometimes do a little trick where I will post, quote unquote, what my dates are, but then actually adjust them a little bit later and get all of those people who are like, oh, I saw you left on the 15th. But then you're contacting me on the 18th. But I actually
To be in town.
I actually am because these really weren't my dates because you're an idiot. But I shouldn't have said that. But, you know, since you want to call or contact way after. But like.
Listen, this is a good lesson because it's so easy to book with us. And some people overcomplicate it. Like if you just kind of follow the rules, like you will get a fantastic experience. You know, you can either meet somebody internationally when they come to your country. You can fly us to your country if you want to meet us specifically. I mean, it's just so easy to just, you know, just be a normal, decent human being. And you can achieve so much in life just being a basic, decent human behavior.
And just following simple directions. Like, I feel simple like direction. Most of us ladies, we literally have it so easy and so streamlined. You literally go to the site, you fill out what it requires, you send a deposit. Like,
read. You read. Goodness. Reading.
It's so easy.
It's so easy. You come to town and then they get to miss out on meeting you because they were just like, oh, I'm going to wait until she gets in town. Or I'm going to wait until she leaves town.
You know what?
It's very interesting out here in these streets.
In the defense of some of these men, which I'm probably going to like get all types of daggers thrown at me for saying this, I understand sometimes. I understand, honestly, why a lot of these men will wait until they can confirm via social media that a lady is actually there, because some people don't follow through on their dates, which I can, for a plethora of reasons, you know, hey, I understand, you know, you might not need to come. But on their end, to put forth the effort to do the booking process, to send the deposit, and then you not show up, then they could have put those resources and time towards someone else.
This is true.
And then they have to wait, you know, for a refund to come. They're like, maybe this person might not have, you know, this disposable income to put out three or four different deposits. And then, you know, a person might not have the deposit's non-refundable. Then they've lost here or there. So I understand. I no longer, you know, am upset when X, Y, and Z doesn't happen. But for me, when I book a tour, I'm coming to that tour unless either I myself am sick or if my dog is sick. Those are the two things that prevent me from actually following through on my travels. So, hey, pre-book with me because I'm coming to where I say I am coming to.
And this is also why I like going to cities where I want to explore the city, because if business doesn't work out, then it just becomes a vacation and I don't have a problem with that. And I know that this is a privileged thing. Please don't come for me because I don't have time for it. I get it. I wasn't, you know, early in my career, could I have done that? No, but I've worked hard enough. So, okay, don't come for us. But yes, if we want to go to a city where we haven't explored, if business doesn't work out, then it's not like a total loss, because now I'm exploring the city and eating good food. And, you know, maybe next time I decide to come, you'll be ready to meet with me. It's, you know, it's just one of those things. I couldn't remember a question, and now I do remember it. That's why I just blinked. And if anybody's like, why did the audio just cut out like that? That's why, because a bitch has memory issues, apparently. So I did want to ask, because, you know, all of my previous stories were about like actual dates with clients. You went on this adventure, you know, to work, and it turned into a vacation. And do you feel like you would have the adventures that you've had if it wasn't for being a professional dater?
Absolutely not. I would not. I've been literally places in the world that I didn't even know existed because of this life.
Yes. This is, so a lot of people are like, how did you come up with, one, the name of the show, and two, like, how did you come up with kind of like the topic and the format most importantly? And I said, because I really feel like as in the accounting world, yeah, I could have, you know, did my 1 or 2 week vacation per year and, you know, went to one place per year. It's like, I just really feel like that being a professional dater has afforded me a lifestyle that I would not have had otherwise. Like it, like you were saying, extending your trip and leaving Singapore and going to Hong Kong. Do you feel like you would have done that from whatever you were doing previous to this?
Absolutely not. I was in the insurance industry. Okay. I went to Bali 1 year for my birthday. Like, I've gone to places in the world, like that part of just being in that part of the region of the world, I never even thought about it. Like, I never thought about trying to go over there. It's like, you know, back in Civi land, I'm like, oh, I'm so excited to go to Cancun, what?
Right?
You know, oh, I'm
Cancun,
so excited.
That's like, we can go there on a Tuesday, right?
Exactly. You know, like, so it's like my passport is, oh my goodness, all of the places that I've gone and been to literally in the last 5 years have been afforded because of being a professional dater. Like, I would have never been able to afford it otherwise. Mm-hmm. And then two, I wouldn't have the time to do it.
That's what people like. Cause when I'm traveling solo and when I'm not traveling for work, like I'm very frugal. If you don't know me, I really love adventure. Like, I don't know how else to put it other than I really love adventure. I like hiking. I've stayed in hostels around Europe just because, like, why not? Like, just, I like to experience all sorts of life. I'll stay in a 5-star hotel and then I'll also stay in a hostel because I meet totally different people.
Right.
You know, you meet in a 5-star hotel, you're meeting that caliber of people. In the hostel world, you're meeting people who have, you know, done a trip around the world. They've done all sorts of things, right?
Right.
And when I became a professional dater, this is where it's like, it's not even about the money and being able to afford it. It is the time.
Right.
It is the time that I just, you know, I try not to take it for granted that I have the amount of free time that I have, or the amount of free time that I can create for myself.
Right.
And I think you would feel the same way. Like,
we
can work really hard for like a month or two or three and then take a month off and then just, you know, rinse and repeat. And that's one of the reasons I became a professional dater, because I could, you know, carve out the time how I want my life.
And that's the biggest thing for me. I don't mind working a traditional civvy job, but my biggest thing is that I can't give up my freedom. The freedom, minus the travel, like literally the freedom that I have to like say, oh, I'm on Thursday, I'm going to go to my tennis lesson. On Monday, I'm going to have my clarinet lesson. I literally have the freedom to pursue things that I wouldn't have the time to do otherwise. And I'm so grateful for the clients that I have that contribute to that freedom. Yeah. And it's like, even when they have their moments off from their jobs, if they're like, hey, you know, I want you to come out to Vegas with me and, you know, to spend those free moments that they have from, you know, getting unchained from their desks and their offices. Like, yes. And that's the part of like why we are here, to help them, you know, decompress and relax from all of those other mundane tasks that they have. We're like, we're their entertainment, we're their excitement for them.
Yeah. And then even for ourselves, we can have more time for self-care. Exactly. Which in the corporate industry, you just, you know, no. You have to get self-care where you can. And so since you're the first adventure that didn't involve a date, it's like, oh, I have to ask her this question. You know, it's a good thing I finally remembered it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, that one was a good one. I mean, I do have other adventures with other people that involved into an international date. But to me, Singapore and Hong Kong was really one of like my most exciting trips for me personally, because yeah. I learned from it. I'm in a new region of the world. It was just different.
And we're constantly learning in this industry, which is, I think, why I have a thought that I don't know how true this is because I haven't done a poll, but I do think that a lot of us in the industry are not neurotypical. And I think that, cause I'm not, so I know that I, you know, I can speak for myself and then other people that I've talked to. So I'm not saying that everybody is, but I think one of the things that keep us in this industry is because we are constantly learning and it's exciting for us.
Yes.
We're learning things. We're learning about people. We're learning about just like how the world works and just life, you know, from a different perspective than, you know, just reading a book or watching right. YouTube or something. Right. And it allows us the time and the money to have all of these adventures. And right. I appreciate you sharing right. your adventure with me. It was
Thank you. I've
moved Singapore. I want to travel to every country except like North Korea for obvious reasons. But I do. I have a, like, my bucket list mm-hmm. is to travel to every country. And I think that this job is one of the ways that I can easily do that, because absolutely. I have the time to do it.
It has itself there. It presents itself rather. And yes. It's like you have the option, you know, if you want to work while you're there and you come across the opportunity that can happen there, it most definitely will. You know, it's exactly. just like every time you go on a trip or you do something, it might not pan out. I'm the prime example of that. You constantly see like, oh, people don't want to be honest. Well, hey, Rain Rose is the person who's honest, who says she went on an international tour. It did not pan out the way that she wanted it to or would have liked it to, but she was able to learn. She was able to experience. And from that experience in, what, 2019, it patterned how I tour, you know, going forward, what my expectations are, how to not overextend myself, and to make sure that I'm okay when I go anywhere in the world. So
you just mentioned something interesting, saying that a lot of people feel like we're not honest in the industry. And I feel like people expect us to put like everything out there on Twitter when they forget that our social media is our branding and like highlighting like why somebody should book us. And because everybody I've talked to, like personally, like behind the scenes, I've always gotten honest feedback from people. Like right. just because they're not putting it on Twitter does not mean that they're lying. They're
right.
You just have to get them in a space where they don't need to put everything out there.
Right.
Like, if you DM somebody, like I tell people all the time, DM me and I'll have right. that conversation with you. Right. But don't paint me as like, oh, Chantel's a liar, you know, because I know this about her. You don't know anything about me except for what I tell people. Like, if you're looking at my Twitter and being like, oh, and I'm pretty out there on Twitter. Like, I announced my surgical hiatus. And right. I'm not ashamed that I have a condition that I need to have surgery for. That's who I am. But right. am I going to be like, oh, yeah, I went to the city and I bombed? Like, Well, no.
That's unnecessary.
Because then clients are going to be like, oh, was something wrong with her? And it's like, no, it's just maybe the timing wasn't right. So why put that out there? But if you as a professional dater want to contact me and ask me certain questions, then just contact the person. Ask them like, hey, do you mind if I ask you a couple questions? And most people will be honest. I mean,
yeah, are there people... those.
Are there people out there that are going to lie because they don't want everybody to know the truth? Absolutely. But I, in my experience, I found more people who are honest with me behind the scenes than they are going to lie. But just don't go spreading people's business across everywhere. You know, when somebody gives you a little, you know, when they help you out with something, you don't need to go gossiping and telling everybody. That's the problem, is when people don't want to be honest, because then it comes back to them, oh, well, I heard so-and-so. And I'm like, well, if you would have asked me, I would have told you.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I'm not lying. I'm not hiding.
I mean, my thing is this. I like to keep my timeline as positive and as jovial and as an explanation of like, hey, if I go on a date with her, I know what to expect. So that's what my platform and my branding is. It's an extension of who I am and what you'll typically be perceiving when you meet me. So
you don't want to give off that image that, oh, if I meet with her, she's going to be gossiping, or she's going to be, you know, complaining about how her bills aren't paid and blah blah blah. And it's like, guys, we're just trying to show, like, you know, how we can help you when you book us. Okay?
Right.
It's not being fake.
We can just have, my thing is, I want to have fun. I want to smile.
Yes, fun. And smile.
I want to show you the other dimples that are usually covered by clothes. Like, that's my goal.
Yes, exactly. All the fun. So the takeaway from this adventure is that, one, Rain is a ton of fun. I don't know if you've picked up on it, but she is good with adjusting. If something doesn't work out, she's just going to readjust and make sure she has a good time no matter what. And I think that is one of the biggest things to look for when you're looking for somebody to hire for a date, is how can they adjust to whatever is going to happen. And I think Rain did a fantastic job at showing how she easily adjusts. Something didn't work out, she's going to have an amazing time anyway. So if anybody wants to know more about you, where can they find out more about you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram. The handle is the same, MSREIGNROSE. However you put it in there or Google that, it's going to pop up. And
so Miss Rain Rose.
Absolutely, on both Instagram and Twitter. So.
Oh my God, I did have somebody who was like, can you have them spell out their names? Because I can't. I have a vanilla friend that listens. He listens weekly, and he's learning so much about it. And he's like, can you have them spell out their names? Because I want to, like, follow and, you know, check out everybody that's on the show. So thank you for spelling that out. I need to make a mental note to remind. But you can also go on the website, hoventures.com, I'll update the website, you know, while I'm recovering. But it will be on there soon, and I'll have everything linked so that you can easily follow them on their website. I want to thank you so much, Rain, for coming on and sharing this fantastic adventure and, you know, getting me, like, hyping up my excitement for going to Singapore, because now I can't wait to go to Formula One. Yes.
And guys, if you're listening, hey, let's start planning this Vegas F1 adventure as soon as they post the dates, because I'm, like, super, super, super excited.
Listen, you know, they say don't take sand to the beach, but, you know, here in Florida, here in Florida, if you don't know, they actually bring in sand to fill up the beach. Okay. So you can absolutely bring sand to the beach anytime. So we're available for Formula One in Vegas to have a good time. Well, thank you so much again. And this has been another exciting adventure with Ho Ventures. As always, keep it sexy.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. Please leave a 5-star rating on iTunes or any of your listening platforms. Don't forget to subscribe and follow the show on Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube at Ho Ventures, and on Instagram at Ho Ventures Podcasts. As always, keep it sexy.